The Commanders hit the road today. They went to Foxborough to tangle with the Patriots in a practice that obviously led to skirmishes because it was a practice between two teams. And if you're allowed to fight and there are no ramifications or repercussions, you are going to fight. But seems like nothing overly serious happened. I did see that Mike Vrabel got into the middle of the fight and somehow ended up at the bottom of the pile. I think he was separating. He wasn't like pulling a manager trying to fight people. But he ends up getting cut up a little bit, had a little blood. Mike Vrabel still has that dog in him.
100% does. I can't believe he wasn't the coach right away when Belichick got fired. But now it just feels right because he always felt like a Patriot head coach whenever Belichick was done. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, yeah, Vrabel, Patriots coach, it just seems right.
My guess is he waited for this gig. And if it wasn't this gig, it'd be the right gig. Now, the Patriots had an opening last year and I believe had already filled it before he got fired. Regardless of whether that timing is correct or not, they had essentially already promised the job to Gerard Mayo. He ended up showing almost immediately that he was overmatched and just didn't belong. And as the year went on,
who could have seen that coming?
Became more and more obvious. But the upgrade for them as a head coach is huge. I was just telling Ryan this. He couldn't believe this. The Patriots are favored in 10 games right now in look-ahead lines. Now, that's very different than whether or not they're going to win 10 games. I think the over-under for them, odds makers have, is like 7.5. But I do think they'll be frisky, and I do like them to go over that number. Drake May, as one of the youngest starters as a rookie over the last couple of years in the league last season, was actually really good and is only getting better, and they added some talent on offense, and they had a great offseason defensively. We can get into some of their personnel in a second. But the big difference is Vrabel, who is a culture changer. But to that point with him getting to the bottom of the pile to pull people apart and coming out with a little blood on his face, I mean, if there is a battle royale between 32 coaches in the NFL, like he's one of the guys, I think, going in who's got to be high-seeded.
I think the final two is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's probably Vrabel and Dan Campbell, right?
Campbell's the favorite. I mean, he's definitely the defending champion. I think a guy like Sean McVay, who's like smaller and squatty, but definitely lifts a lot of weights, he might be able to handle his own. Dude, a D lineman like Dan Quinn, all he talks about is like, let's get it on and let's go out there and let's beat some, you know what, like cursing all the time. I think he could probably be okay too.
I mean, he'd be scrappy, but I don't know. There's a difference with Mike Vrabel and with Dan Campbell. Those two are a little bit, they're a little crazy.
I agree with that. So here was some of what we learned today, some of the reports that came out of practice from the folks that were there. So we have wondered a lot about this corner room and this secondary, because it's actually had a really good training camp. You and I have been out there a lot. My biggest takeaway after my first few practices I watched was, A, they're doing a lot more man coverage than I remember them doing last year early in camp, and B, they look way better in man coverage. And maybe that's not a coincidence. Now, last year they probably knew, we can't run a lot of man, we're going to run more zone. Well, now they feel like with Marshon Lattimore on one side and Trey Amos, the rookie second rounder who looks the part and has had a really good camp on the other, and then going and getting Jonathan Jones and sliding guys down the depth chart like Noah Igbinoghene, still having Mikey Sanders still in both the inside and outside roles, but now with a year of experience, you know he's really good. The room has gone from bad to pretty good on paper, but this great camp that they were having is possibly a product of the fact that their receiver room without Terry McLaurin isn't good. And today, the results seemingly were not nearly as good as they have been going up against Washington's wide receivers. Now, I did see that Trey Amos had some really nice plays and handled the zone, and that John Kimes specifically pointed out that he thought today was another building block for feeling like he's going to be ready in week one to not only start, but actually help them a lot. So that's great. But I saw, just as a number, and I'm not a big training camp numbers guy, but Drake May, 11 on 11 today, was 10 of 12 with a drop from DeMario Douglas. Would have been 11 of 12 throwing the ball, moving the ball seemingly with ease through the air. So we were wondering, what does it look like when you go up against the receiver room? It's not like the Patriots have a great one.
If you just look through theirs, it's Stephon Diggs, DeMario Douglas apparently had a really good day, Kyle Williams, Kayshon Booty, Kendrick Bourne, Mac Hollins. Like, that's a bunch of Jags aside from Stephon Diggs.
And Diggs is no longer Stephon Diggs either.
Correct.
I mean, he's like the B version of Stephon Diggs. But regardless, that receiver group, it sounds like, did a better job than Washington secondary in that matchup today, for what it's worth. But all I cared about really was, what does Trey Amos look like? And supposedly he had a good day. So that's a win for me.
Yeah, I think overall this was a good practice for the guys. It sounded like the Washington offense did well. It sounded like the Patriots offense did well, which kind of sounds like you would expect, right? I mean,
I saw Laremy Tunsil apparently at times was not only a standout, but even dominated some reps.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that apparently almost caused a fight, taking one of the linebackers into the stands, something like that. But yeah, it's good to hear, right? Because I think that's something that we've talked about a little bit, but seeing it in action where you're going up against another squad, not like their pass rush is great, but I actually think that their offensive line this year could be more of a weapon, whereas in the past, it's kind of been something that's like, can they overcome the O-line? This year, I think that O-line can be something that you can bank on, hopefully in the run game, also in the passing game, and hopefully that opens stuff up, regardless of what the weapons on the outside end up being, whether Terry comes back or not. I think that's going to help out a ton, because you just haven't had a good O-line in quite some time.
When Sam Cosmi comes back, who's working on the side field still, and he's on PUP, I think their line, to your point, has a chance to actually be the best it's been here in several years. Now, to do that, to get there, Josh Connerly, their first-round pick out of Oregon, has to supplant Andrew Wiley at right tackle and then has to play at a high level. Because I think if Wiley's your right tackle, then you're still going to be somewhat middling because he's pedestrian. No longer the problem that I felt like in year one at times that he was. But Wiley is fine. You'd like to do better than fine after drafting a tackle in the first round. But a Tunsil left tackle, Coleman kicked inside to guard. I think you could see a Cosmi trajectory to his career where he was actually better than Cosmi at tackle, in my opinion. But okay last year at tackle as a rookie, as a third rounder. Now you kick him inside, a little bit easier role. He immediately becomes a fringe Pro Bowler, hopefully, in the next couple of years. Biotish at center is very stout. You know what you're getting out of him. Top half the league starter. Cosmi comes back at right guard, eventually going to play in a Pro Bowl. And then at right tackle, if Connerly's the real deal, you really don't have much to worry about for the next couple of seasons. And you've got depth with guys like Nick Allegretti, who was a full-time starter for you last season, who's now just waiting in the wings.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it too, if you can get to a point where whether it's Wiley that has to start right away or it is Connerly can get to a point where you can trust them a little bit. Kingsbury was talking about having Tunsil on the left side, not feeling like you have to chip. Okay, well, now you can move that guy over to the right side if you still need to help. But ideally, if you can get to a point where you can trust your bookends a little bit so that they can get things done without having to always chip and help, suddenly that's another guy out in the route. That's another way that you can have an outlet quick if there's a blitz or something you didn't see coming. And that just improves everything. That just makes everything so much better when you can have tackles that you can trust. And they haven't had that, especially on both sides, in quite some time.
One other joint practice observation that I saw and made note of to bring up, it was, I believe, Nikki Javala of The Athletic who said this. But she pointed out that today it was really clear that they missed Terry McLaurin in the red area especially, where those windows get a little bit tighter and the coverage gets a little bit stickier. And that was where I think Daniels, who had a pretty good practice today, threw a pick on a ball in a small window that got picked off. He had an interception in the practice in Ashburn where he threw a ball just a hair behind Chris Moore on his back shoulder. And if it's Terry, he hauls it in and goes to the ground or probably turns it upfield. But Moore, who's just not on that level, ends up having the ball plucked out of his hands and off his shoulder by Amos. And I bring that up only to say that's multiple times where we've kind of seen this in these small areas where those contested catches, that's where Terry's your maven. You know, that is where he is going to butter his bread. And apparently today, from what Nikki pointed out, she said, you know, he doesn't have a lot of leverage, but practices like today and the more work that they get when they're playing, if they're playing in any of these exhibition games with starters, that will help him some. Because each time they're on the field as ones against ones without Terry McLaurin, it will become more obvious how much they miss him.
Yeah, I think if they don't ultimately get this done, we're going to have to go back and take a whole look at this offseason again. Because if you didn't prepare to not have a true wide receiver one, then you screwed up everything. You know, do you need Javon Kinlaw or should you have gotten a wide receiver one? Did you need Jonathan Jones or take your pick of where you could save a few bucks or should you have traded him before the draft or all this stuff? We can reevaluate. Should you have taken a receiver at 29 instead of Josh Connerly? If they ultimately don't get this done, you're going to have to go back and evaluate everything because, yes, you got Debo, and we've talked about that wide receiver room having Debo. We think that Jalen Lane's going to have a good year. But then outside of that, it is a bunch of guys that you can't really trust. And I think another thing, too, is you've seen more interceptions this training camp than you did all of last year for Jaden Daniels in training camp. I think you're seeing that because Jaden is a little more willing to push the ball down the field, be a little more aggressive, throw into those tight windows. And if he doesn't have wide receivers that he can trust in those spots, then what the heck is he going to do? He's going to have to get back to, I'm throwing it underneath. And he's got an O-line now where he can actually push the ball and push the envelope a little bit. And so maybe that aggression is going to turn into a few more turnovers, but maybe increases the explosiveness of the offense. But if he doesn't have the guys to do it, then it really doesn't matter.